Match of the day is a ripper. Williamstown versus Essendon, Burbank Oval, but it's live, free to air. Channel 7 from midday Saturday with Nigel Carmody calling the action with Jason Bennett. And Nigel, the competition really does have, at the top end, many a side who could go on and win the whole thing. It's as open at this stage of the year as it has been in, certainly since I think we've had this many standalone AFL clubs. It really is very competitive.
Yeah, flag is truly up for grabs, Finey. Williamstown and Essendon, two combatants who are very much in that mix. And as you said, they'll be the Channel 7 broadcast game coming up this Saturday. We saw Collingwood take Box Hill on Saturday as well, which shows that, look, the Hawks are at 7-2 and have probably been the standout team in the competition this year, but they are gettable on their day. And I think we also need to be throwing certainly Footscray and Port Melbourne into that mix as well. So looking forward to a good run to the Peter Jackson VFL finals and then back here, of course, for grand final day at Etihad Stadium. And if we get anything like what we had last year between Footscray and the Box Hill Hawks, we'll be very, very happy footy fans.
Now, are you just talking about standalone clubs or are they your all-in favourites to win the VFL this season?
I tipped Essendon at the start of the season, and I'm pretty happy with where my tip sits at the moment, providing the Essendon AFL portion of the list can stay of reasonable health. But I would have Port Melbourne and Williamstown well and truly in the mix, and I think, well, they're not a standalone team. They will be in the future, but I think Sandringham are the other team to be throwing into the conversation. They've had an outstanding season so far and getting great output on both sides of their list as well.
Well, Williamstown currently sit, I believe, in third on the table. As I said, it's compact, and for a club that is now Williamstown and Williamstown standing tall and proud, it's great for so many of their local supporters who have followed them forever and a day. Michael Gibbons is one of their star players, as you said. Came down from, is it New South Wales or ACT?
Came down from New South Wales, which will be an interesting question to pose to Michael because he's made a couple of moves before finding his way to the western side of Melbourne.
Well, he's with us now, right fair and square on 1116 SEN. And Michael, in terms of a football journey, I would have thought that your current place of employ, the Williamstown Football Club, is a pretty good place to, first of all, enjoy your football and then, just as importantly, showcase your wares to AFL clubs, because with free-to-air coverage and a growing respect for the VFL, there's no doubt if you play well enough, you'll be seen.
Yeah, g'day fellas, how are you? Definitely. It's been a pretty big journey so far, and came down the start of last year and had a all right year with the boys and sort of settled in, and this year's been pretty good to start with. So boys are sitting up the top of the ladder, it's actually going all right at the moment.
Michael, take us a little bit further back in your footballing journey. You're originally from Wagga, but your family made a big decision to move down to the border, and you're playing your footy with Lavington and also the Murray Bush Rangers before being close but not quite being drafted at the end of 2013 and finding your way to the Seagulls. Tell us about that journey and how it's unfolded and brought you to the VFL.
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Wagga Wagga, which is just a little town in New South Wales. When I was about 16, in 2012, the family decided to move down to Albury, probably just for job opportunities and whatnot. And then, sort of worked out well for me, I suppose, because I got introduced to the TAC Cup and then also got to play some senior footy in the Ovens and Murray League, which is good. I had 2 years at the Murray Bush Rangers. As you said, missed out on the draft, which was disappointing. But then, straight away got on front foot and decided to come down to VFL and give it a crack, and loving it so far.
Just on that missing out on being selected, look, it's interesting that GWS have only got 5 New South Wales players on their list compared to 13 at the Sydney Swans, and I think that's disappointing. Did you speak to the Giants, and what sort of messages were you getting from the newer franchise?
Oh, I had a little bit to do with the Giants. So I went up there and trained with them for a couple of weeks in my draft year in the preseason, 1 week in the preseason, then went up in the middle of the year and had another week with them, which was it was a pretty awesome experience, to be honest with you. But towards the end of the year, there wasn't a whole lot of communication between us. I think I spoke to them at the combine, but other than that, sort of wasn't much on. I suppose too many high-end picks for me to get a look in, I'd say.
Michael, you've played 20 senior games already in your time with the Seagulls, but also 8 Development League games. And I think that's a real reflection on not only the depth of the Williamstown list, but the importance that the Development League continues to play in conjunction with, obviously, senior footy in the VFL. You must feel like you've been able to go back and forth between the levels and not lose anything in terms of perhaps pressure to hold on to your spot, but also feeling like you can continue to progress as a player, regardless of whether it's in the Williamstown seniors or reserves, and keep your eye on where you would ultimately like to get to, which is the AFL.
Yeah, definitely. I think the best thing about being at Willie is that our twos are also very strong. So, you know, when you do go back, it's not too much of a drop off, which is great. As I said, yeah, I sort of tapered off towards the end of last year and played more. I think I played about 5 or 6 twos games at the end of last year, which is good. Ended up playing in the grand final side, the premiership side, which was actually a really good experience. This year, just tried to consolidate my spot. As I said, it's having the twos there, and especially for Williamstown being so strong, it makes transferring between the ones and the twos not too difficult for all the boys.
You're a top 4 side last year. Where do you think the improvements come in the 2015 version?
Oh, I think probably a bit of cohesion between the boys. Definitely this year the boys it's more enjoyable to be around everyone. The club's better, got a good vibe at the moment, and I think everyone knows everyone a bit, each other's game a bit more. We've got a couple of young blokes that have come in and done really well, as well as some mature blokes, as in Sam Donnell and Taylor Hine, that have come into the club and really showed the way. So bringing them into the club's helped a lot, but also, I'd say playing with each other a lot more.
This game, obviously, against Essendon is pretty telling. How have you felt that the boys prepare for games against standalone clubs or these newer AFL standalone clubs? Because whilst people might think that there the intel is easier, having AFL-listed players to measure up against, it's sometimes the non-AFL-listed players that are the difference. So how do you actually prepare, especially for those guys that aren't on Essendon's AFL list, and make up the rest of the Essendon VFL team?
Yeah, that's right. I think, as you said, you can sort of prepare well with the AFL players that you know are playing, because you watch them on the telly and then there's heaps of intel on them. And then, as you said, it's the blokes that are on the VFL list that you sort of don't know as much about and you're not really expecting as much of, that sort of they come out and they're the ones that you need to look out for in the end. So, that's it.
So don't let them get under your guard, Michael.
Try not to.
I'm not going to make any more seagull gags other than to say that you're a proud team, a great team now standing alone, and a real chance to go all the way this year. Good luck for the rest of the journey.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate it.
So there you go, Nige. We've had a pretty good hour there, and the VFL content doesn't finish up. Are you safe to get home, mate?
I think I'll be fine from here, yes.
You know you're not far from Albert Park for a steak if you want to get to Squire's Loft.
Very tempting. Did have a nice meal in at 131 Buckley Street in Essendon last Thursday night, and all 3 restaurants, from all reports, being very well patriated throughout the winter months.
Keep your phone on. I think there might be some luncheon between me and you and a certain Essendon Squire's Loft manager, possibly in the next couple of days, so we need to sort that one out. You and I will sort that out. And as we head into the news, we do so with some more VFL content, this time from the Roosters. North Ballarat's James Seatus caught up with our roving spider. And let's have a listen to what they said. Of course, we started off by asking, or Spider did, how the Roosters have been able to turn around their form.
We started to have the review a few weeks ago after having a couple of heavy losses. And the boys put it on each other that we weren't going to stand for that kind of stuff. Just accountable actions. We thought our competitiveness wasn't up to it, which we thought we had brang in the last year and a half. So, we just started to focus on that, having some real KPIs to measure the competitiveness. And we're just going to try and continue that. So training last week and this week has been focused around continuing that competitiveness and finish off the last half of the season really strongly.
When you talk about the KPI measures, what sort of things did yourself as a playing group and Fitzy discuss? Because no doubt there would have been some areas that you were probably a little bit down in, but then were some areas that you thought, well, we're not playing as bad, but we can still improve in some areas to take it up to the next level.
To be specific, they were that focus on the GPS. So we're really we're getting a grade. So all midfielders, backs, and mids, it was getting shown up in front of the group. Each person over, I think it was five categories. So it was really in front of the group. Everyone would show up, meters per minute, etc., and all the other categories. So everyone can see who's not putting in and who's not running hard for the team. And then we also got out in front of the group after every game. I think this will be the third week we've done in a row now. And with the one percenters, so the people in the bottom three will have it put on them. The group can see everyone standing out up there who's not, attaining to the competitiveness that we put out there. So, that's also done with the local footballers as well. So everyone at the club's kept accountable.
It's a great evaluation tool, isn't it? And great feedback, because you're not only getting it from your peers, but you're getting it from the coaching group. So it's a good self-assessment, isn't it? Because then you understand what levels you've really got to obtain every time you go out to play.
Yeah, and we've set the standards now over the last couple of weeks. You can really see the difference in the GPS and the difference in the one percenters between our losses and between our wins. So, we set the standard now. There's no reason for us to go backwards, especially after a bye. I think all the boys are really looking forward to this weekend again at home against Richmond.
Still focusing a bit on the Casey game, I want to talk about a couple of players that have made immediate impact into your team, and that's Jackson Bowen has come into the team in his ruck role, but also Rowan Marshall, graduating out of the Rebels. So they're two real good prospects for you.
Yeah, definitely. So unfortunately, the big O went down. Put on the younger Rowan and also Jacko to come into the side, and they really help with the competitiveness most of all. They their attack, like their follow-up after the ball, really helps out us middies. So, they're both really good prospects, and hopefully they can play a fair chunk of the last part of the season.
Two other players that are having real good impact for the Roosters so far this season is Nick Rippon, who's just starting to get into some really good form, but also Miles Sewell. We know what a quality player and a champion player he's been over so many years, continuing, having a great season.
Yeah, so firstly, Rippo's been great. Over the last couple of years, it's my second year of the club, and he's exceptional. Like, he's one of the most consistent players I've ever played with. He just consistently does the team stuff, really has a bad game. So, he's been really good for us. And also Miles, he's come back. He didn't play the first year I was there, just come back. And you can tell why he achieved all the things he has achieved. He's been such a great leader for the boys. He's been playing great footy, also very consistent.
Really appreciate you joining us on VFL in Focus this week. Big game for the North Ballarat Roosters. They take on Richmond at Eureka Stadium on Sunday, 1:30 start. Look forward to seeing how you go in that game, and look forward to following the Roosters' progress for the remainder of the 2015 season.
Lovely, Matt. Thanks for that.